I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. Here is Charles W. Dracunculiasis Bryant. How you doing, drunk?
That sounds like my playa name.
It is.
Sort of.
Playaappreciate.com.
I wish I could remember what that name was. It was so good.
Oh, it was Sweet-tastic Bryant Trump.
Is that it?
Sugar-tastic Bryant Trump.
Sugar-tastic, that's it.
Bryant Trump. Yeah, that was Chuck's pimp name as it appears on playaappreciate.com.
I love that you can generate a play a name.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
God bless the internet.
Chuck, speaking of the internet.
Yes.
Our parent company Discovery's channel Animal Planet has a cool website.
Indeed.
That they launched for their show Monsters Inside of Me.
Very cool.
Which has inspired us to do a couple of Parasite podcasts. This is two of two.
Yeah, number two.
We just did Toxoplasmosis.
Yeah, and I got to say, we were excited about this stuff.
Sure. It's
occasionally
a cool
show. We'll get requests to do things, and we're like, oh, I don't know, should we do that? And we'll turn them down, and they'll threaten to fire us, and then we'll march into the office with a gas can and a lighter.
Yeah.
And it goes down like that. But this one is cool.
Yes.
Monsters Inside Me. Cool show.
Yeah. No, everybody on staff pretty much threw in for this thing.
Big
and,
time.
Happily, actually, because, yeah, it is a cool show. That's a cool graphics. It's just gross.
Yeah, it is. And if you're eating lunch or dinner right now, we might advise you to wait until later to listen to this.
I actually was eating a sub while I was researching leishmaniasis.
Tapeworm sub?
No, that's the flesh eating.
I know. It's just...
Oh, was it a tapeworm sub?
Yeah.
It was undercooked meat, so yeah, probably.
Whew.
Anyway, we're talking about parasites and apparently pimp names, and let's get into it. We're talking about three really gross ones, and technically we should say four, because I want to give a shout-out to my favorite. And Chuck, also, I should probably say, anytime we do a segmented podcast, Chuck likes to time me, because he's a big fat jerk.
I don't like to time you, but if we want to get to all three, we need only have a certain amount of time, and so I'm going to go ahead and hit start on my new iPhone.
Okay, well, Dracunculiasis.
Ah, you jerk. We were supposed to do leishmaniasis.
Oh, yeah, leishmaniasis. Sorry, yes, man.
That's what we're starting with.
This is the flesh-eating parasite.
It is.
It's affectionately known.
Tropics, subtropics, and southern Europe.
Yeah.
So we're safe for now.
Well, unless we travel to one of these countries.
True, which you were prone to do.
I am wont to go to certain places sometimes.
Yes, we are. You are.
But, yeah, there's a lot of people who actually suffer from leishmaniasis. Estimates are about 12 million infected worldwide.
Uh-huh. And 350 million at risk?
Yeah. And about 2 million new cases each year.
Right.
And they're expecting this to go up, Chuck, thanks to our friend climate change. Thank you, Al Gore.
Right.
Because as the temperatures increase, the area where the sandfly
can live,
increases as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's the sandfly, which I wasn't familiar. I think I had sandfly and blackfly confused. But luckily, blackflies don't spread leishmaniasis. Sandflies do. And these are actually about a third of the size of mosquitoes.
Yeah, so you
don't
even
know. And their bites are relatively painless if they're not pain-free.
Right.
So yeah, you don't know that you're being bitten, and you certainly don't know that the saliva from this fly has actually just transferred some larva of this parasite into your bloodstream.
Yeah, and you know, I should point out too, you said that global warming is one reason this is on the rise.
Uh-huh.
Another reason is because of our shenanigans in the Middle East.
Yeah,
because that place is lousy with sandflies. In Afghanistan and Iraq and the like. So
yeah.
We think a lot of our personnel over there may be getting infected and bringing it back. So,
mm-hmm. So leishmaniasis,
watch out.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Chuck, actually, the concentration of where these cases are popping up is concentrated in just a handful of countries,
yeah.
Old World and New World.
Uh-huh.
But places like Syria and Brazil have the vast majority of these cases because
right.
This is where the sandfly lives. But like you said, traveling... conquering
tourism.
These things can transfer
tourism and conquering
leishmaniasis right
uh-huh.
So there's actually two kinds and a subkind. The subkind's my favorite.
The cutaneous is my favorite.
Is it?
Because I want to describe the sore. If you had the cutaneous leishmaniasis, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get a sore on your skin.
What happens is as follows.
And this is so gross. They describe the sore as ending up looking like a volcano. So it's got a raised edge and then a central crater, a little meaty central crater right in the middle. Do you have leishmaniasis on your breast?
Uh-huh.
That's gross. And some of the sores are indeed covered by a scab. And they can be painless or painful.
Painful.
Your breast is?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So my favorite, Chuck, if you'll allow me to take over for a moment.
Please.
Is mucosal or mucocutaneous.
Yeah.
This is the stuff that, like, you see photos of when you type in flesh-eating parasite, right?
Yeah.
What happens is you get a cutaneous parasitic infection, and it can spread to your mucous membranes, e.g. your lips, your nostrils, that kind of thing. Basically, the prominent features on your face get eaten away.
Mm-hmm.
Did you Google image any of these?
Yeah.
Yeah. So were you eating at the time?
No, I was not.
And I
have not since.
It's amazing. Like, the people missing their noses. I saw one where it was a close-up of this guy's nose, and somebody had tweezers and was just kind of pulling it. And it was a still photo, but you could tell by the way it was being pulled, it was basically like jelly.
Wow.
It's gross stuff. But they actually clear up on their own eventually.
That's the good news.
We read an article from the CDC describing leishmaniasis, and I was disconcerted to find, you know, under the how do I treat leishmaniasis, they're basically like, well, it goes away on its own eventually. Basically, like, there is no treatment.
But it said it could take months or years. So
right.
Do you want a volcano scab on your forearm for years? Or that thing on your breast?
No, you don't.
Gross.
There's a really dangerous one, though, called visceral.
Yeah, that can kill you.
Yeah, so tell us about that, Chuckers.
Yes, Josh. This is the nasty one. This is the one that attacks your liver and spleen, and I think it enlarges them. They swell up.
Your spleen actually can become larger than your liver, which ain't supposed to happen.
That ain't supposed to happen, and even your liver. And it is.
No, my liver's shrinking and hardening.
Oh, is that what happens?
Sure.
Okay, so your liver's like a California raisin.
Pretty much, yeah. Nice. And not the dancing kind either.
No, the dying kind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll kill you.
It will. And like
that's
you said, it is nasty in that it is dangerous. It's not as nasty as mucocutaneous leishmaniasis, but it's still pretty dangerous stuff.
Right.
So you want to know how this parasite's life cycle occurs? It's pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So you get bit by a sandfly, right? And the parasite actually is taken up. It enters the bloodstream,
uh-huh.
And it's taken up by macrophages, which are a type of white blood cell.
Right.
So they're living happily and protected within the macrophages, where they're reproducing, and eventually they cause the cell to lyse. It erupts,
uh-huh.
And they're all of a sudden all these new parasites are released into your bloodstream,
so
and then they're taken up by more white blood cells and so on and so on. So the process keeps continuing, and they start multiplying exponentially.
Wow.
Yeah. So, which is also how it's flesh-eating. When
right.
when it's attacking these cells, it's lysing the cells in your mucous membrane or around your, or like on your forearm or something like that. Or, in the case of visceral leishmaniasis, your internal organs.
Right. But like we said, don't worry about it. It'll just go away on its own.
According to the CDC. All right, change your, press the timer, man. We're done with this one.
Okay. So that's leishmaniasis.
Yes.
On to.
Number two.
Dracunculiasis. That's a good one.
Yeah, this one's pretty awful, too.
This is really sad.
Commonly known as the guinea worm.
Yeah, this is really sad because it affects the poorest of the poor in the world. That's the bad news because it comes from drinking unclean water.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is they have largely eradicated it.
Well, there's five countries that are stubbornly hanging on to the guinea worm infection.
But, dude, we're talking, let's go back in time to 1986. I'm in the 10th grade. You're in elementary school. You're drinking behind the elementary school.
86, I was 10. I was into baseball cards.
Yeah. I was into
drinking behind the elementary school.
I was into Defender and Van Halen.
Awesome.
So 3.5 million people were infected every year back then. And now, let's go back a couple of years to 2007 when I was into Defender and Van Halen.
And I was drinking behind the elementary school.
Yeah, that's scary. Only 9,585 cases were reported. So that's awesome. And most of those were in the Sudan and Ghana. So clearly some work to be done there.
Sure.
So now we should talk about how gross this is.
This is a very, very gross parasite.
This is the worst one, I think.
What happens is it's generally taken up through a tainted water supply.
Right. A year later.
Yeah.
That's what was so frightening. Is you drink bad water on vacation in Ghana, a year later, all of a sudden you say, what's that blister on my foot?
Yeah. Well, the Tour Ghana Tourism Board is going to be really mad at you.
I'm sure they are.
The Greater Ghanese Chamber of Commerce is going to be after you, Chuck.
Right. So go ahead.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. So basically, what is it? Water fleas are easily infected with these parasites.
Yep.
And they show up in unsanitary water.
Mm-hmm.
You drink this water, you get a couple water fleas in, or you can conceivably just drink the larva, right?
Yes.
The larva travel down to your intestine where they lodge. They can pass through the intestine, which most parasites can.
Right.
And then they grow.
Right. Well, the stomach acid, what I thought was interesting is it does not kill it.
It kills,
the water fleas, but
yes.
Leaves the parasite.
Yeah.
Thank you, stomach acid.
Right. So, yeah, the parasite sticks around and it grows and grows and grows to about 2 to 3 feet long.
Yeah.
Or 60 to 100 centimeters long over the course of 10 to 14 months. And it's just the females that grow to this adult stage, right?
Yeah, and they said it's as wide as a cooked spaghetti noodle.
Yes.
3 feet long
yep.
in your intestine.
Yeah. And it's gross. That's not the worst part, though.
Our guest producer, Lizzie, is about to hurl.
She is about to vomit. I think we should make that our mission today.
We should.
Okay. So you've got this 3-foot-long live spaghetti noodle that you can clearly identify as a female detached from your intestine, and then it migrates to the skin. And here's where the beauty part begins.
Yeah.
A blister boil forms on the site where the worm's about to emerge.
Yeah.
And pop goes the weasel. The worm starts to poke its head out.
Yep. And basically, you look down and you have a worm coming out of your body. And
here's the tricky part.
What, getting it out?
No.
Oh, okay.
So if you haven't picked up by now, parasites are arguably the most intelligent things on the planet, or at the very least, the most tenacious. The boil or the blister where that occurs at the site where the worm's about to emerge, actually... the pain associated with it is alleviated simply by dropping it in water.
Yeah, this is...
Contact with water triggers the guinea worm
to
release this milky white substance, which is actually millions of larvae, into the water supply. So the water supply is now tainted, and the life cycle begins again.
Right. So you're in Ghana. You're feeling bad. You get in the river because it makes it feel better. And then all of a sudden, everyone downstream is getting this milky secretion of eggs.
Yeah.
And they get infected.
Yeah.
Just so gnarly.
It is. So, okay, again, CDC says, yeah, really the best way to do this is to have a clean, sanitary water supply. So the treatment for this is actually just preventative. You just make sure that a population has a clean water supply, right?
Right, which is what the Carter Center has been working so hard for all these years.
That's odd to mention the Carter Center out of nowhere.
Well, no, the Carter Center, they've been doing all this work.
Oh, they have?
Yeah.
Since when?
Trying to eradicate GWD.
Oh, did they help with that drop from 3.5 million to less than 10,000 cases in about 10 years?
You got it, buddy.
Huh. Well, way to go, Jimmy Carter.
Did I not mention
Carter
that?
No.
All apologies.
Oh, okay. So the Carter Center is working on eradicating the guinea worm.
Sure, among other groups.
Gotcha.
World Health Organization.
Yeah, right. Okay, so... Yes, so we've got it down, but let's say that you do have a polluted water source, and all of a sudden you have a 3-foot-long cooked spaghetti noodle coming out of your leg.
Yes.
In a boil. What do you do, Chuck? What do you do?
Well, one thing you can do, Josh, is you can pull it out, and you can only do this a few centimeters at a time.
Mm-hmm. On a daily basis.
I'm glad I read this, because if I ever had this, I would yank that thing and pull it out from my intestine in one long piece of spaghetti.
Woof.
But apparently you can't do that. I imagine it would break off or something and cause an infection.
You just make it mad. You don't want to make a guinea worm.
No,
mad.
You
They're
don't.
Tough.
So what you do is you wrap it around a piece of gauze or a small stick, a little bit at a time.
Every day.
Every day.
For several weeks.
For several weeks until it's out. That's one thing you can do. Or it can be surgically removed, clearly by a trained professional, but we're talking about the poorest of the poor in the world, and they don't have access to this.
Or you can just blow your head off.
Well, that's another option.
Sure. The big problem with guinea worm disease, or when it was a real problem, is that it is a disease of poverty, but it's also a cause of poverty.
It is.
Because if you have a 3-foot-long cooked spaghetti noodle coming out of your leg, you're pretty much temporarily disabled until that thing comes out.
You can't farm.
No.
You can't take care of your children.
Right.
It's very sad. So it does have an economic impact that just... It's a cycle, man. It makes everything even worse.
It does. But luckily, again, we've largely eradicated it.
Yes.
Except for Ghana and Mali.
Right. Asia is completely clear of it now. They used to have a problem with it.
All right, Chuck. Well, then turn off your timer again, buddy.
That was a good one.
I thought so as well. Are we leaving this part in where you're actually manipulating the timer?
Yes.
We'll find out, huh?
On to tapeworms.
Tapeworms. This one is pretty common.
The big finish,
Everybody knows tapeworms. There's that tapeworm diet, which actually is real.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
We're not endorsing that, by the way.
No. Okay. I'm just big on calorie-restricted diets.
Sure, and knowledge.
Even Chuck won't let me endorse that one, but still. We chose this one because it's actually really interesting. The study of tapeworms has revealed a change in understanding of human evolution.
Big deal.
Or at least parasitology.
Yeah, we always thought. Humans always thought that you get tapeworms from animals. Thanks a lot, cow and pig, for giving
Stupid
us tapeworms.
Pigs.
There's some research that's been done that actually turns the tables, Josh, and in a switcheroo, it looks like we may have started the whole thing and given it to the animals. So sorry, pig. Sorry,
Not
cow.
Only did we domesticate you for slaughter, we also gave you the tapeworm.
Yep.
So tapeworms, known affectionately in the medical community as Taenia, there's Taenia solium, mm-hmm. which we'll talk about. That's distinct from Taenia saginata and Taenia asiatica.
Nice job.
Thank you. I worked on pronunciations like all day.
You did great.
Saginata and Asiatica both actually, for their life cycle, require an herbivore in there as an intermediate host to get to their definitive host, us.
The carnivore.
Carnivores.
Right. Does this mean a vegetarian or a vegan wouldn't be infected?
You would think so, but look out for Taenia solium, which will get anybody.
Yeah. Very broad range, including dogs, it said. That's very sad.
Right. Well, yeah. Once we domesticated dogs, cows, pigs, you know, again, we thought that that's when we started getting tapeworms.
Right.
Actually, tapeworms go back as far as about 2.7 million years. Humans or hominids have had some sort of trouble with all of the retching and the pooping and stuff like that.
If you believe that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We've been around for 2.7 million years. If you believe that, hogwash. Sorry.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
So, Chuck, let's talk about tapeworms, what they do, how they do it, what they look like.
All right. We're talking about intestinal tapeworm infections. A lot of times they're not detected because it's pretty mild symptom-wise.
Mm-hmm. I assume that one or both of us has a tapeworm right now.
Exactly.
Can I tell you something?
Oh, boy. Yes.
So I'm actually a big proponent of high colonics.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
God, I learned so much.
They are mood-changing.
Really?
And you have to get two. And also, anyone who goes out and gets a high colonic, make sure the place you go is ultra sanitized and insist on watching them sanitize the machine.
So Jerry's House of Colonics is probably not where you want to go.
Especially not our producer Jerry's House of Colonics. I mean, she's tidy, but I wouldn't accept a high colonic from her, right? I got a high colonic, two of them. The second one, it was like I was a brand new person. I literally felt reborn.
Really?
But the guy who was running the place was telling me about a customer. It's so perverse. They have this table set up, and it's like a doctor's exam table.
Uh-huh.
And you have certain things sticking certain places. And then a tube.
Dr. Frankenstein?
Going out, sure. You have a tube going out. Right?
Out.
And then there's mirrors showing the whole thing. So you're seeing all the stuff.
Okay.
One guy had to call the owner in who was telling me the story, and he had stopped up the tube, and they went in, removed the tube, got it out. You know what it was? It was a fist-sized ball of worms.
You're kidding.
The guy had no symptoms, had no clue they were in there.
Oh, my God.
And all of a sudden, a fist-sized ball of worms coming out.
Well, it's pretty clear why the Discovery show is called Monsters Inside Me.
Yeah, a fistful of monsters inside of you. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So high colonics equal getting rid of worms sometimes. That's my little aside there, Chuck.
Yeah, I'm going to Jerry's House of Colonics right after this.
You should. So, Chuck, how do we get these tapeworms that come out in fist-sized balls?
Well, there's different ways, Josh. It's usually you can get it through eating food. But there's a little disturbing asset to all this, is fecal matter has to be involved?
Yeah, I saw in this article that you could get it through intimate contact, but if fecal matter has to be present, what is that?
I don't know. And you out there in podcasting can make your own call there. But if, let's say, you were preparing some food and
you had poop on your hands,
there was some poop or something involved.
There was poop involved.
Yeah, then you could get it. And I know undercooked pork, I think, is one way that you can get the which one was it? The T. solium.
No, is it?
I thought so. No, yeah, it's often found.
I think solium's the only one that doesn't require an herbivore. It's the
other
two that does.
Well, it said its T. solium is often found in raw or undercooked pork.
Huh.
And is therefore called the pork tapeworm.
Gotcha. Well, that's pretty definitive.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what Dr. Hoberg says.
So one of the things I found disturbing was this. So you know how tapeworms are segmented?
Yeah.
First of all, they can grow up to 65 feet or 20 meters long.
That's disturbing.
And they're heavily segmented. Mm-hmm. Each segment can contain up to 40,000 eggs, larva eggs.
Unbelievable.
Right? These eggs can actually live 25 years out in the open. So if you poop somewhere, like in the desert,
uh-huh.
at age 25,
right?
If you go back and visit your poop in the desert
50.
At age 50,
wow.
If there were tapeworm eggs in there, you could conceivably eat them and start it over again.
That's crazy.
Isn't that gross?
That is. And if you swallow these eggs, Josh, the larvae can actually penetrate your intestinal wall and lodge in an organ or form a cyst.
Well, yeah, they can form brain cysts. They can also attach to any organ, including your eye and brain.
Which can cause, they've said they've linked it to blindness and epilepsy.
And insanity.
And insanity, I would imagine.
Seizures, yeah. What else is there? Paralysis.
Uh-huh.
A lack of equilibrium.
Yeah.
Like vertigo, dizziness, that kind of thing.
Right.
It's bad stuff.
It is.
So
stay away from dirty pigs.
And don't cook if you have poop on your hands.
Yeah.
Just get somebody else to cook.
That's
it's
a good
not
rule
that
anyway.
Important. Maybe go out to eat.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah.
So is that it on tapeworms?
Yeah, we already covered the part about how it turns out we infected livestock, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, pigs.
So that's three gross parasites.
Again, I want to give a shout out to my favorite.
Oh, okay,
which we didn't
right.
cover because there's actually a dearth of information out there on it. It's called the human botfly. Botfly.
Oh yeah, the botfly.
Did you read my blog post on it?
I did.
Did you watch the video?
I did.
Isn't that awesome?
It is.
So the botfly actually doesn't sting or lay its eggs or spread its larva directly into humans. It uses mosquitoes. To do it for them. So these flies actually capture a mosquito mid-flight, lay some eggs on it, and then the mosquito flies around with the eggs until they hatch into larva. Once the larva hatch, the mosquito plunges its proboscis into a human,
mm-hmm.
or any mammal, I believe.
Into me. They're constantly on me.
So the larvae are actually transferred. They go under the skin,
uh-huh.
sit there and eat your fatty tissue for several weeks. And then finally, a maggot emerges from your skin and falls off and goes into the soil where it burrows until the pupa. Then that's the pupa stage, and then it emerges as an adult botfly.
That's the wrath of Khan.
Yeah, and there is no treatment for it. Also, people who have these things, they as they grow, they stay close to the surface.
Uh-huh.
So if you it breathes through your skin, right, through a hole in your skin. And if you cover it up, you can feel the maggot moving underneath your skin, people have reported.
Why was this not in the top three?
Because there's not that much information on it.
Okay.
But we're still talking about it anyway,
okay.
buddy.
True.
And then the only way to get rid of it is to actually pop it out. So if you go to the blogs at howstuffworks.com, you can, I think you go through older posts and you find one on the botfly. It's
uh-huh.
probably a couple weeks old by the time this podcast comes out. And if you're into parasites or that kind of thing, we
get help.
Definitely, that's one thing. But while you're getting help, while you're filling out the requisite insurance forms, you should probably check out Monsters Inside Me, on Animal Planet on Wednesdays at 9. And Chuck and I don't hawk this anything. Like, this is a cool show.
Yeah, cool and gross and just, you know, if you're into that kind of thing. And I know you are.
And again, that website, you're abusing our listeners, Chuck.
Oh, they love it.
That website for Monsters Inside Me has one of the great writers on staff here at HowStuffWorks.com, Robert Lamb. Bunch of work by him.
Robert's one of my favorite guys.
He rocked it out. So, yeah, so there you go. Three gross parasites plus the bot fly, and that means it's time for listener mail.
So, Josh, I'm just going to call this listener mail from two dudes. someone took you to task on Superman. Did you read those?
Did we only get two?
Well, we had a few people write in, but I'm going to read Thomas.
Like, really, ultimately, Chuck, it's gotten to the point where I'm not sure why I open my mouth unless I'm definitively sure I know what I'm talking about. Because I tend to say the exact opposite of what's true.
I know, but, you know, that's part of the show, you know? People like finding little tidbits that we get wrong.
It's becoming the crux of the show.
No.
You don't think?
These are little tidbits. This is not high science here. It's about Superman, for God's sakes. hi, guys. I've been listening to your great podcast for a while, and I love them. I've never sent an email, but I felt I needed to correct something. In the Earthquake podcast, you said Superman lied to Lex Luthor's girlfriend, I believe it was Ms. Tessmacher. Not true. Superman did not lie. She made him promise to save her mother before stopping the missile headed for California. He reluctantly agreed, and she removed his kryptonite necklace and flew to Hackensack, New Jersey to save Ms. Tessmacher's mom. After he pushed the missile to space, he turned around to see the second missile hit the San Andreas Fault. So sorry, Superman did not lie. And he even says, in his own words, Lois, I never lie. That comes from Thomas from Harvard, Illinois.
He's dogmatic and inflexible. He may have toxoplasmosis.
I think he does. And this is from Anthony. Hey, Chuckers, listen to the new podcast on Twinkies. He didn't address you. I thought that was rude.
No one does.
Well, because they think that you don't read the listener mail, when in fact you do.
Yeah, I get the listener emails, too.
You just don't respond and read them on the air. You
right.
You should clear that up. Josh reads everything.
Yeah, thanks.
So, hey, Chuckers and Josh. Oh, he did say that. I just missed it.
Wow. That was a whole lot of unnecessary.
Twinkies reminded me of a time in the early 90s when I worked at the State News, Michigan State University's independent student newspaper.
Ooh, go Spartans.
We had a weekly junk food cookie day when we would all chip in a buck or two, multiplied by a staff of 50 or 60, and get heaps of sugary and salty snacks.
Wow.
While gorging ourselves on Twinkies, we had a debate about their shelf life. We took some gaffer tape, one of your favorite things.
I love gaffer tape.
And stuck a two-pack up on the inside of a locker, intending to leave it for as long as possible. For over 3 years, we watched the Twinkies disintegrate into heaps of powder. But never during our experiment did we see any mold visible. We eventually threw away the package, and I have not eaten Twinkies since. That comes from Anthony.
Well, Anthony, that's
Michigan State alum.
Yeah. What year did he say?
He didn't. Well, he said early 90s, so he's my age.
Yeah.
We were grunging it out.
Old. Yeah. You cried when Kurt Cobain died, didn't you?
No.
Well, if, like Chuck, you cried when Kurt Cobain died, you can send us an email about that to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.